Hello and welcome to the Jacob's Well podcast. My name is Paul, and I don't know if you know this or not, but the number one search on Google this week was prayer, and that's because I think it's because things got really real this week for a lot of people, and people are looking for answers, and that's what makes it so excited for us to be in the Gospel of Luke, because we're at a place where we find out what happens when Jesus shows up and he starts turning over tables. Can't wait to walk through this passage of scripture with you. Hey everybody, welcome to Jacob's Well online service. I am so glad that you are safe at home. I'm especially glad that God is with us and that we are getting ready for an amazing Easter season. I want to welcome everybody who's part of our Jacob's Well family, and I also want to welcome the hundreds of people we know about who are checking out our services online, maybe from different parts of the country, or maybe because you're from the Chippewa Valley and maybe your church isn't able to do an online video service. We just want to let you know that this is a great place for you to hang out until your church gets going again, and our church is all to get going, and we are going to get going because we're going to get through this together. We're going to get through this as a community, and we're going to get through this in large part because of what we believe, because we believe in Jesus Christ. And it's because of that I want to begin our time together by talking about something called the Apostles' Creed. This is what Christians have believed for hundreds of years, like 1700 years. This has been our declaration of faith. This is what unites us, and it's really important for us as the people of God to be reunited right now and to come back to the fundamentals of what we believe. So let's just say this together. So go ahead and say this with me as we declare our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, one holy united church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You see, this is what we believe as a church. And as we get ready to go into Holy Week, it's important for us to return to what we believe. I don't know if you realize this or not, but the number one Google search this week in Google was prayer. That was the one thing that was searched more than anything else. And I think part of the reason is because life got real this week. I don't know if that's true for you, but it was really true for me. There's just something about rolling into this week on Monday after having have been safe at home for a week and then things just kind of settled in where I started to realize kind of just on some level, man, we're in this for a while. And there were times this week, just to be perfectly honest, where I had anxiety. There were times this week where I got angry. There were times this week where I just wanted to run away and just have, you know, I just wanted to go somewhere to escape. And so what I found myself doing is coming back to the foundations of what I believe. And that's a huge part of what we're supposed to do every year at Holy Week. Holy Week is that week that's leading up to the culmination of Easter, the biggest, most important day for Christians, where we celebrate the resurrection. Friday, of course, is Good Friday. We remember the cross of Jesus Christ and how he paid for our sins. And so this is a super important week. Now, we as a church have been going through the Gospel of Luke. And this week, as you're doing the Luke reading plan, we're going to be in Luke chapter 19 all the way through chapter 21. And this would be a great week for you to scroll into that deeply. Now, here in a minute, the children's ministry is going to walk us through this story of Palm Sunday. And so it's just very good. They're going to unpack the celebration of what happened when Jesus came into Jerusalem. Because what happened was, and this is all the fulfillment of prophecy. You'll actually see this as you do, if you take part in the prayer podcast that I'm going to talk about in just a little bit, that the Psalms of the Old Testament predicted that this would happen, that Jesus is going to arrive in Jerusalem as the great king, and he's going to usher in salvation. When he is, He's going to come in a donkey, and he's going to be coming in with the people raising, waving palm branches, saying Hosanna, which basically means save us. It's a call to God to save us. So let's take a look at how it happened, and then let's take a look at a part of this passage that we don't always realize is connected with Jesus coming into Jerusalem, but it's super important. Let's take a look. It says this, and when Jesus rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road, and he was drawing near. Now, let me just say this to you, church. Jesus is drawing near, and we want Jesus to draw near. So some of us, maybe for a while, have had Jesus on the shelf, but because of what's going on in our world, we are drawing near to him. He is drawing near to us. But one of the challenges we're going to see this Holy Week is when he draws near to us, very often he brings a lot of changes, and that's the challenge. And here's one of the best things about Holy Week. Let me just talk to you about this. Holy Week is the time where we realize more than any other time of the year that Jesus is in this with us, that he is part of our story, that the human Jesus Christ, he understands disappointment, he understands loss, he understands pain, emotional pain, physical pain, he understands anxiety and fear, because he became like one of us. And so one of the big challenges we're going to see is that we want to draw near to Christ as he is drawing near to us. And so it says that Jesus drew near, and he was already on his way down from the Mount of Olives. And the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice. Look at this. For all the mighty works that they had seen. Do you see that? For all the mighty works they have seen. And this is part of the problem, right? Part of the problem is that when Jesus comes to us, we want to praise him. And we're all signed up for worship services and palm branches and seeing his mighty works. But what if there's more to it than that? What if Jesus is going to come and he is going to make some deep and profound changes? Are we still willing to celebrate him? So this Easter, the challenge is going to be not just to come to a great worship service where we celebrate all together, but could you have an experience of drawing near to Christ this Easter season, unlike anything you've had before, even if it means he's going to actually bring some big changes in our life? Let's take a look what happens. So what happens is, as Jesus comes in, the religious leaders get all upset, and Jesus said, you don't understand, this was prophesied, this is supposed to happen, and you know what? This is an indication that God is at work, and if these people stopped worshiping, the stones themselves would worship. And so Jesus is celebrating with the people, but also Jesus feels the pain of the human experience. Look at this. It says, and when they drew near and saw the city, look at this, he wept over it. So if you had any concerns, if you had any wondering whether or not Jesus is concerned about what you're going through, that Jesus is concerned what we as a church, as families, as nations, as business owners, as employees, as leaders, as doctors and nurses, he understands what we're going through, and he feels it, and he weeps over it. He understands, again, our disappointment, our losses, our grief. He is in this with us. He is all committed to it, and we're going to see that throughout this Holy Week. So he wept over the city, saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. You see, what Jesus wanted us to understand was that he came to show us the pathway to peace. And there are so many things that we have been looking for to try to find peace. There are so many things that we have thought, if I could just own this, or achieve this, or accomplish this, or move faster, that would bring me peace. And the truth is that many of those things that we thought would bring us peace were only bringing us anxiety. We're actually removing us from the things that are actually the most important. See, one of the big questions that God confronted me with this week is this question. When all this is past, when we are past safe at home, when we have gotten through this difficulty, do I want things to go back to the way they were? Do I want to go back to the way they were, or do I want something deep to change in me, in our church, in our families, in our communities? Are there things that we're supposed to learn, that we're supposed to discover that are profound and deep that God wants us to understand? So he says again, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Again, there are things that we don't see, things that we don't understand, things that we are only beginning to understand because Jesus came into our Jerusalem. He rode in, and we want him to grow, and we want him to draw near. We had no idea that he was going to show us things. He was going to reveal things that were going to challenge us in deeper ways than we ever thought. So Jesus comes in, he's leaving from Jerusalem, but it doesn't stop there. Look what happens when he comes into Jerusalem. It says, and he entered the temple. And so just like the prophecy said, he enters the temples to fulfill prophecy, to be the one who's going to bring in salvation because he's going to be the Lamb of God. He's going to be the great high priest, not offering himself on the altar in the temple, but on the altar of the cross. He's going to offer himself up. And he entered the temple and he began, look at this, to drive out those who sold, saying to them, it is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. So let me explain what's going on here. What had been going on here is that there were different sections of the temple, and one of the sections was called the Court of the Gentiles. And this was the place where anybody who was not a Jewish person, they could come into that court and they could worship God, because people from all over the world who weren't Jewish came to Jerusalem to worship God. And what was going on in the temple of the court of the Gentiles is that they had made it into a market. Now, part of the purpose for this market was to sell animals to be sacrificed in the temple. But there are also money changers so that people from different parts of the world could change their money and buy what they needed. And it had become a business. It had become a racket. It had become an oppressive situation. They had cornered the market and they charged exorbitant taxes. And so that when people came to worship the true God, they found themselves being taken advantage of. They just found the entire just system being about money and being about oppression of people, using people rather than serving people. So what Jesus does is he comes in the temple and he starts turning over tables. He starts driving those people out. And he does it based on the authority that he is the Messiah. He is the coming king. He is God in the flesh. And he comes and he turns over the temple. And again, as I came to this passage of scripture this week, I was struck with the question, if Jesus came into my life, if he rode into the city of my life and came into my temple, the place where I worship, the place where I set my affection on whatever I set my affection, what would he find there? And what would he do? Would he be turning over tables? Would he be driving things out? Would he be changing things? You see, this is the thing we want from Christ. We want him to come into our Jerusalem. We want to worship and praise. We want it to be exciting. We want to praise him because of the great works he does. But what if he's going to come into our Jerusalem, come into our temple, and he's going to weep over some of the things he finds there? What if he's going to come back and say, you know what? I went into your temple and you're worshiping all kinds of things other than me. You're putting things ahead of me. You're putting things above me. And if that means he's got some tables he's going to turn over, some things he's going to drive out, do we still want him to come? I mean, this Holy Week, do we still want him to come to us? Or are we still at the point that we're so disappointed about the things that we perceive that we have lost, that we're missing the opportunity to draw near to Christ? What does he call them to? Well, he calls them to this. He says, my house shall be a house of prayer. That's what makes it so powerful, that the number one Google search in our country this week was prayer. People are returning to God. And are we willing to let him turn over some of the tables in our life so that people can return to God, both other people and ourselves? Now look what it says after that. It says in the next few verses, it says, and what he did after that is he was teaching daily in the temple. Now this is an incredible opportunity, because
my first question when I look at this is, I wonder what he taught them. And then, of course, I remember, well, we know what he taught them. That's exactly what we're going to be reading in the Gospel of Luke, the things that Jesus taught. And so this Holy Week, I think Jesus wants to call us back to two things. One, I think he wants us to call us back to deep, abiding, transformational prayer. And the other thing he wants to call us to is to his teaching. For us to be people who hear his teaching, know his teaching, love his teaching. Think about it this way. If you got an opportunity, you could come and you could hear Jesus teach. If there was an online thing or we're past the save at home, you could go hear him, you would go. Well, here is the reality, is that this Holy Week, you can go and you can hear, you can experience Jesus' teaching through these first four books of the New Testament called the Gospel, and especially in Luke's Gospel as we as a church are going through it together. It says he was teaching daily in the temple. We can experience that. The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him. Why? Well, because they didn't want their tables turned over. They wanted things to stay the way they were. Let me ask you a really serious question, church. Do you want things to go back the way they were? Now, I get it. A lot of us say, I just want to go back to work. I want to go back to school. And I get that. And we want to get past this crisis. I'm right with you. But do you actually want them to go back the way they were? Or do you see in this an opportunity to go through this time and to see transformation take place? Are you open to the fact that the truth, the opportunity, the possibility that if we were to invest in prayer in a way we never have before, and we were to invest in reading, studying, understanding, and internalizing the teaching of Jesus in a way we never have before, that we could be a transformed people. We could see changes in us, in our families, in our church, in our community, unlike anything else. Look what it says about this. It says, but they could not find anything they could do. The people who are trying to kill Jesus, they couldn't find anything. Look what it says. For all the people, look at this. I love this statement. We're hanging on his words. We're hanging on his words. This Holy Week, what if we were hanging on his words? What if prayer was powerful? What if the Word of God came alive? What if we actually read things in the Scriptures and it changed the way we think? It changed our perspective. It made us braver and more godly, and it changed the way we treated each other. What if the Word of God actually burned in our hearts? We're going to look at a passage of Scripture next week for Easter where it talks about the Word of God burning in our hearts, so that once we go through this, we actually see God's hand in our life in a way we never have before. See, I don't want to go through this and be the same person. I actually wrote something in my journal this week, and I wrote it about myself, but I just want to share it with you. It's this. I wrote this. I said, Jesus, I want you to come into my Jerusalem, but I don't want you to turn over my tables. You can turn over other people's tables, but not mine. I want revival. I want people to repent. I want their gods turned down. I want them to make changes. But what if it's got to start with me? Your word says judgment begins with the house of God, the people of God. Your book says, If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then you will hear them from heaven. You will answer and you will heal their land and you would heal our world. When all this is over, do I really want things to go back the way they were? Or do I want my life to be different, filled with gratitude, sacrificial service, love, and prayer as the foundation of my life, that which I believe in? Teach me to let go of fear, anger, and resentment over what I perceive has been lost, and help me rejoice over the coming of the Messiah, no matter what that means. And so this Holy Week, I want to challenge you, will you walk with Jesus this Holy Week? Will you walk with Jesus this Holy Week? What would it look like? Well, it'd mean two things. It's a call to prayer. It's an understanding that we as the people of God need to learn how to pray. We need to actually pray. We need to build prayer as the foundation of our life. That's what the first next step is all about. It's about a call to prayer. And there's several things you could do. One, you could use our prayer podcast. We have created prayer podcasts that you could actually, this Holy Week, and what if you just tried it for a week, where three times a day, you just scheduled a time. It takes about 10 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes, closer to 10 minutes, where I'm just going to pray. I'm going to pray through the scripture. I'm going to center myself on the word of God and through prayer, and I'm going to just lift that up. You could do that through the prayer podcast. You could go to our website and you could learn to use community prayer. You could be part of the community prayer. That is, you would join a Zoom conference where people are coming together and they are praying for our country, our nation. What if God wants to bring the healing our nation needs through this pandemic? Through prayer and through the prayer of God's people, well, this would be an opportunity for you to be aware of it. And then this would all come to lead to the Easter and Easter resurrection service. Now, I want to let you know that we're going to have all kinds of information coming out this week about Easter, about how you can participate, how you can make it the best experience for you and your family, how we can have community around Easter. It's going to be powerful. And I want to challenge you to fully engage in this Easter season, because here's the deal. We believe Jesus rose from the dead. He is worthy of our celebration, worthy of our best effort, worthy of us finding ways to reach out and create community, even becoming high touch, even though we can't touch. And so this Easter is going to be, and so that's the first thing, is we are going to, as a church, we are going to be a people of prayer this Holy Week. Now, the second thing that we can do, that we need to do, is we need to hang on his words. And so you need to take the Gospel of Luke, and particularly starting where we ended today on chapter 19, and go chapter 19 through 21. That's all the stuff that happened and Jesus talked about in Luke's Gospel on this Holy Week. And look what he taught. Look what he said. Look at what he calls us to. And when we see his word in our life, we need to be the kind of people who hang on his every word. So I want to encourage you with a couple things. One is, I want to make sure that you're getting the newsletter. We're sending out a weekly newsletter. Make sure that you're getting the emails from church. Make sure that they're not getting caught in your junk folder. And make sure you're taking some time to go to Jacobswell Church, jacobswellchurch.church. So many resources, so many ways to stay connected. If you're on Facebook, if you're on your Instagram, make sure not only that you're checking those things out, you're participating, but share those posts, like those posts, so that more and more people can just experience the benefit of the incredible content that our staff is putting together. Now, I want to let you know about something else. This is the part of the service where we would be challenging people to give online. And I just want to start by saying, I understand that many of you have had your hours severely cut. Others of you have been laid off, and many of us are going through very difficult financial times. Some of you are business owners whose businesses can't operate right now, and so you can't give right now. You certainly can't give the way you'd want to, and I just want to let you know that we understand that, and that's okay. That's okay. I just want to let you know that your church blesses you, and we're going to keep just encouraging you as we go through this struggle. Now, I also want to just let everybody else know that if you are in a place where you are working and your financial situation hasn't changed, we do want to encourage you to continue your giving and your tithing. Now it's more important than ever before. I want to thank the church, because our online giving has not gone down at all. In fact, it's gone up as new people have begun to give online. Many of you have started mailing in your tithe. And that's going to allow us to continue to go forward with confidence and to create an incredible church experience as we are caring for thousands of people in the Chippewa Valley in all kinds of different ways. We're also encouraging our share partners and giving to our missionaries and just all kinds of other people. All this goes to the One Fund, which makes our church and the ministries that come from our church possible. So I just want to thank you. So if you haven't begun to give online, you can go to jacobswellchurch.church, and you can start giving online, a one-time gift, or you can become a repetitive gift, or you can mail your gift into the church at 3211 North 50th Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. You can mail your gift to Jacobswell. A final note, I want to just remind you that if you're carrying a burden of prayer, you can reach out to us at the church. If you were to send an email to us on the website to contact us, we would reach out. One of our care pastors, one of our care team, one of our care ministers would love to come alongside you. If you just need someone to talk to, particularly if you're alone, if you're isolating, don't isolate. Get connected. If you need a group, we are here for you. I want to end our time now with prayer. I really believe that God is calling us as a people to become a people of prayer unlike any time ever before. And so will you pray with me? Father, we come before you now and we pray. We start by praying for those places that are hardest hit in our country and around the world. And so wherever you're at, listening to this service, pray for a place in the world that's been hard hit. And Father, we pray for those who are on the front lines in service and in medicine and leadership. We pray, would you take a moment to pray for someone who's on the front lines? And Father, we pray for those who are sick, who either have developed this virus or got this virus or are sick in some other way, who are just in a scary, vulnerable place. We pray for them. Pray now for someone you know who's sick. We pray for those who are separated from loved ones, maybe from a different part of the country or just because we're safe at home in different homes. We just pray now as each one of us pray for someone who's separated from someone they love. We pray for those who have lost a loved one and cannot gather to grieve and have a memorial service. So we just take a moment. Let's pray for anyone who we know who may be grieving the loss of a loved one. And we pray, Father, for those who have lost something that they've looked forward to, something that they have worked hard for, an opportunity, a graduation, some other thing that now they're experiencing disappointment. We just pray you'd meet them in that. And let's all just take a moment to pray for someone who is facing that kind of a loss. And we pray for anyone filled with anxiety because of the economy or illness or just all the uncertainty. I would just pray, Father, that you just speak your peace to them. And now each one of us, wherever we're at, pray for a person we know who may be struggling in this way. And we pray for those leaders in government, business, and in our community that they would just be godly and make kingdom decisions as you give them divine wisdom. Let's all of us just stop and pray for a leader God would put on our heart. And we would pray for those who are alone and isolated, maybe living alone, maybe just withdrawing. I just pray, Holy Spirit, you'd put someone on our heart, someone for us to reach out to, and someone we're to pray for as each one of us just take a moment to pray for someone. And now let's pray together. Father, we do not want to go through this season unchanged. And we really don't want to go back to the way things were. We want to be different. And so, Father, you've come into our city and we worship you. You've come in and truth is you've wept over some of the things that we have looked to for peace that have not brought us peace. And you've turned over some tables in our life. And we thank you. Teach us to pray. Teach us to hang on every word. And would you hear the words of this beautiful prayer as we pray in Jesus' name. May we who are merely inconvenienced remember those whose lives are at stake. May we who have had no risk factors remember those most vulnerable. May we who have the luxury of working from home remember those who choose between preserving their health or making their rent. May we who have the flexibility to care for our children when the schools are closed remember those who have no options. May we who have to cancel trips remember those who have no place to go. May we who are losing our margin money in the tumult of the economic market remember those who have no margin at all. And may we settle in for quarantine at home remember those who have no home. During this time when we cannot physically wrap our arms around, let us find ways to be the loving embrace of God to our neighbors. And may we do it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, church, keep watching. Look for more encouraging stuff coming from your church. and watch out for some information about Easter, and let's make this the most amazing Easter we've ever experienced as we learn to pray and we just hang on the words of Jesus.